Jesus Christ.
Well, we're back to this kind of Caitlin.
Oh, God.
Sorry. What is happening with this? Why is it floating? My spoon's popped out. The fuck? Theme song.
What's your excuse?
Hello.
Hi.
How do we start this?
And welcome to What's Your Excuse?
The podcast. I'm Megan.
I'm Caitlin. And this is a podcast where we talk about all the weirdo things that make us weird and fucked up. Anyways, how was your week? Or two weeks.
It was fine. Started back at school.
Woohoo!
Yep.
Fun to be back?
Yeah. I mean, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
Very. Because
yeah, you're studying today.
Yeah.
In market, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was doing homework.
I looked over and said, what the fuck is she doing?
Homework. Hey. It's always homework now.
Yeah.
And then... That's mostly... Started school. I did a bleach cap on my head.
Cotton candy.
Did I do? Jesus, it's been two fucking weeks. Oh, that's what I was gonna tell you. The other day I went to bed when Ryan did, like at 9:30 on Thursday night. And so at 3:30, whenever he got up to go to work, my body was like, you've slept enough, just wake up. And so I did.
Mm-hmm. Rough, huh?
And well, I didn't go back to bed because I had to go to school. Mm. I had to be at school at 8:00. And so, you know, I have to take George on his walk. I like to go get my coffee. I did get my coffee at like 5 a.m. that morning.
Wow. I would be shocked if I saw you walk in at that time.
And then went to school for 3 hours. Or no, 4 hours, 8 to noon. And got a haircut that day. And then came home and passed the fuck out until 5 o'clock.
There you go.
Yeah. I was like, I'm fucking tired. I can't do this.
5 p.m.?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then,
sorry.
No, you're good. That's pretty much it. I mean, yeah, that's it.
You went to Chewy's?
Yeah. We went to Chewy's yesterday for Caitlin's birthday.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Yay, 27. That's a year.
That is. It's a year. And yeah, that's actually it.
Yeah.
So, how was your week? Or 2 weeks? We can just talk about the one.
Yeah, not a great 2 weeks for me. But
yeah,
that's fine. I feel like I'm numb enough to it now that I can just say whatever the fuck I want.
Great.
I don't know. Buried my dog. That was sad.
Mm-hmm.
He died of tummy cancer.
Mm-hmm.
He stood up, had a seizure,
mm-hmm.
and sat down and went to sleep.
Yeah.
So, and then I went home to help bury him, and my mom and brother were so fucking slow at digging a hole. God, it took them forever.
Why wasn't this dug already?
I know. And then I made a joke. I said, call me goddamn Shia LaBeouf. And I said, we're digging holes, not beating women. But... Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny. I was proud of that joke. So that was sad.
Yeah.
And stuff. And then, yeah, I did some other life-changing things that I won't really discuss here.
Yeah.
Which is fine. But I'm single again. So we're going to stay that way.
Song.
But yeah, then it was also my birthday.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. It was a weird year to have a birthday. You'll experience it next week.
Yep. Weird year.
I was hesitant to do too much. Mm-hmm. And so we Yeah, you and I and Ryan, mm-hmm. and then Chris, the girl, my old roommate, and Patrick, my brother, went to Chewy's for lunch, and that was pretty fun.
Except for when I almost fell.
Yeah, that was funny. Oh, it's not funny. It's kind of funny.
Oh, it was funny. It's funny. It's funny. It's absolutely funny. I'm that person, like, when I fall, I don't want anyone to be like, oh, my God, are you okay? I just want to be like, can we laugh? Look, it's funny already. Laugh about it now.
Just laugh now so I don't cry.
Yeah. And yeah. Ryan tells people, he's like, don't. Her face gets red. She's like a baby. If you overreact, she will feed off of your reaction.
Yeah.
And he told one person, like, once I fell, and they were like, oh, my God, are you okay? And he was like, her face is getting red. Stop.
Mm. He knows.
I was like, oh, I'm so embarrassed.
But yeah, so we did that. And then I went to one day and got drinks afterwards with just a few friends because they have a big old patio. And so it felt like we could all sit very far apart from each other and it felt pretty okay. And so, yeah, a few friends came out to that and it's that's pretty much it. I got dinner with my brother and someone else, and it was good pizza. So
good. I'm glad that the pizza was there.
Yeah.
And your brother.
And my brother. And so that was a fun time. And yeah, today we had a market, and I'm tired. I'm so tired.
Yeah, me too.
I want to take a nap.
Let's get to these stories.
Yeah. So anyways, today we're going to talk about Ouija boards, mm-hmm. and why you probably shouldn't fuck with them unless you know what you're doing. So we each have some stories, but I was going to talk a little bit about some of the rules mm-hmm. behind using a Ouija board. So I probably should have had this maybe pulled up or something.
Okay.
Beforehand. Here we go. Okay. So I've used a Ouija board on multiple occasions. I do always try. Now, when I was younger, I don't think I did all this. But now that I've become more aware, I do try to, make sure that I follow most, if not all, of these rules. Because with a Ouija board, I mean, yes, it is a piece of cardboard. So, that's why when people are like, I'm afraid of Ouija boards, they in and of themselves are not going to, conjure the devil.
Right.
You have to sit there and mess with them. And, however, when you don't respect it and you don't respect, the spirit realm and you're going in there like, this is a bunch of fucking bullshit. Yeah, that's when shit can go really wrong. So there's a few rules that you should follow whenever you go, I think I want to use a Ouija board. And one of the main one that I know is you must close the board after the use. Mm-hmm. This is the second one in this list. But you have to say goodbye. The planchette has to be moved to goodbye. Mm-hmm. So for those of you who don't know, I mean, most everyone probably has mess
seen
with a Ouija
one.
Board at some point in their life.
Yeah.
Whenever you're using a Ouija board, you typically put about 2 fingers on it, and it is supposed to just barely be touching it. So mm-hmm. that way you are not influencing the planchette in any way. However, when you are closing it out, you physically take the planchette and you move it to goodbye.
Yeah.
So that way you have said, no, get the fuck back.
We're done here.
They will
step back, Satan.
Step back, Satan. That's right. Step off. And so you have to move it to that, so that way they will not then just be like, what up, mm-hmm. in your life all the time, you know. This one is a rule I've not ever really heard, but it's number one on the list, so I guess.
All right.
It says never use the Ouija board alone. And I have no clue why it says that, but it just does, because the thing that they listed was kind of garbage. It says the Ouija board must be disposed of properly. I think that if you yes, you didn't see her come in, so you thought there was a ghost.
No, I just was like, who the fuck is in here?
And someone entered. But so it says otherwise it can come back to haunt the owner. I personally believe that if you're respecting the Ouija board and you close it out and you're not sitting there trying to tempt or contact too many spirits and like you understand like the warning signs, that disposing of it isn't necessary until yeah. Mm-hmm. If you've contacted a evil spirit and you are starting to notice things in your life, even if you did close it properly, then yeah, maybe you need to get rid of it. And then it says never use the Ouija board in your home. So go to your friend's house.
Yeah, and get them use haunted. It in their home.
That's pretty much what that means. And then it also says never use the Ouija board when you are ill or in a essentially if you're not in a great state, mm-hmm. which just makes sense. I mean, for any sort of paranormal
yeah.
thing, like maybe don't start digging into stuff if yeah. you are not ready to, like the stuff can go wrong. A lot of demons and demonic entities will prey on like mental instability and yeah. especially on depression, and they will feed on it until yeah. it drains like you, and then it becomes a prominent part of your life. Mm-hmm. So if you're not in a great headspace and then you go and mess with that, it's, you are just like a easy target on the mm-hmm. back, and it can not work out great for you.
Or it could do wonders.
Yeah. There's this one little meme that I like. I just thought of the time that my dad said mem in conversation a lot. And I said, you mean meme? anyway, sorry, Dad, love you. but I forgot what I was saying, so.
Great. There was a meme about demons doing wonders for your life.
That's right. It's like when the demon comes to possess your unfit soul, but you end up having a lot in common. And then there's another one where it's like, demon could take a hold of you and you just become a passenger in your own body. It's like, sign me up.
Yeah.
Because this sucks. So please come take over me. Possess me.
God.
But also I don't really want to be possessed right now.
No.
It's not like, I feel like that would just make my week a little worse.
Yeah. You know, it probably wouldn't be ideal.
Nah. Anyways. So do you want to tell your story first? Oh. And then I can go into the little story that I found.
I thought there were more rules.
Oh, no, that's all. I mean, there's not a lot of rules. It's just mainly respect the board, respect the spirits. You're not supposed to ask how you died. Like, you're not supposed to ask, like, how did you die? Because, hey, that's fucking rude. but
100% I would ask that.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is most people do.
Yeah.
And then that is how a lot of the times, like, that's when it can open it up to a darker entity.
Yeah.
Which is what the main,
yes,
who you researched.
I am going to be talking about Zozo. So I thought you were laughing. You were just burping.
I burped.
Yeah, so
Zozo's no laughing matter.
Here's the only thing that I knew previously about Zozo is it's the fourth Led Zeppelin album. That's it. Like straight up. I was like, oh, Zozo. Great. That's it. That's all I knew.
Zozo's a, wow, really?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And that's really what I looked
There's
up.
A lot to be found on Zozo. That's why I was like,
the Zozo Demon's Bizarre Connections to Ouija, Led Zeppelin, and the Slender Man.
Slendy.
So, basically, I'm just going to kind of paraphrase this article. It's from Thrillist. It says, this happens all the time, says Darren Evans, a bystander joining the paranormal investigations team of Travel Channel's Ghost Adventures. The target is Zozo, an ancient demon who makes his presence known by rapping on walls and moving objects and might be doing so in an empty hallway upstairs. Evans isn't rattled by the sound. He's used to his house making strange noises. For years, he claims that Zozo has stalked, harassed, and tormented his family. He even claims to have been possessed by Zozo, who is an ancient supernatural presence who has wormed his way through history, wreaking havoc on participants since the pre-biblical days. Evans is a self-proclaimed zoologist. Now, I would think there would need to be a second O so that it's like zoologist. Zoologist.
Zoologist.
But it's just zoologist. Zoologist.
Sorry, I was gonna sing it to the tune of Ashley Simpson's LOLOLOVE.
Here's the hard part for me is that, like,
I hate myself.
There's not, like, not that I don't believe in it, but, like, there's not a science, like, an actual, like, proven science to it
to say
zoologist. Oh, ologist, yeah, implies that you are a scientist of that field.
Yeah. There's,
I mean,
there's,
I guess some, it's different, just names, the study of it. I guess it's also just like the study of, because, like, cosmetologist, I'm not a scientist. Yeah,
that's true.
I mean, I do have to take a lot of science classes, but whatever, I guess.
Maybe he had to take a lot to talk to Zozo.
There's a minimum of 36 hours of Ouija boards that you have to do to become a certified zoologist.
You have to, like, sit there and, like, Nightmare Before Christmas, you know, like when Jack's, like, dissecting all the Christmas things. Yeah. It's just, you're dissecting Ouija boards.
Just got a saw. Count the rings. How old was this tree that the Ouija board was made out of?
Wait, it's just corrugated cardboard.
Yeah. He regularly tells his stories at paranormal conventions, on supernatural themed podcasts, and across 236 pages in a recent book.
Who's this? I'm sorry.
Darren Evans.
Darren. I don't know him.
So, for this television appearance.
Acting like he's goddamn Wolverine out here.
Great. For this television appearance, he's leading a team into the darkness, into the unknown. Zozo's origin story is riddled with supposition, fabrication, and a hive mind belief system that keeps his power alive and thriving, despite giant gaps in its history. But since 2009, Zozo has been a popular internet fixture, so notorious that he's inspired feature films, books, podcasts, and been the focus of entire episodes of both the aforementioned Ghost Adventures and Paranormal Witness.
You did a great job holding your composure. I was spoonering. That's not a thing. It's a terrible name.
A YouTube search of Zozo Demon turns up more than 80,000 results, with videos ranging from emotional personal encounters. Do we need to take the silverware away from both of you?
No. I was just joining in because he did.
Jacob?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I can hear myself.
You better get used to that, bud. He's starting a podcast. Let's take a moment to shout out AI.
What's it called? On.
Arctic
Absolute
Intelligence.
Intellect.
Artificial.
He's like, what? I don't know.
Asymmetry innards.
Artificial innards.
Artificial innards.
So.
He didn't correct us, so I think that's a new name. You gotta put your mouth closer to the mic, bud.
Yeah, bud.
Is this better?
Yes. Good job. You got a joke?
No.
Say, you like Zozo?
What's Zozo?
Have you been fucking listening?
It's my job.
It's my job. Yeah, and apparently you weren't. You're too busy messing with just knives. Yeah, it's Jacob making sounds. Anyways, back to us.
Is his mic off?
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. So internet lore. Let me start over. A YouTube search results, a YouTube search for Zozo Demon yields more than 80,000 results, with videos ranging from emotional personal encounters to timeline histories to alleged full on possessions. Internet lore has one explanation for how it crept out of the shadows. Facts tell us something very different. The demon story is intertwined with Darren Evans. A man whose stringent beliefs in the unseen and whose obsession with Led Zeppelin helped birth a modern urban legend that gains traction with each passing year.
Urban?
Its foothold coagulating into an accepted, inescapable truth.
Blood.
Who is Zozo? The Zozo Demon, sometimes stylized as Zozo, Big Z, Little O, Big Z, Little O, or Big Z, Big O, Big Z, Big O, Zozo.
Zozo!
Is a mysterious trickster entity known for stalking people through Ouija boards. Mm. Also, do you say Ouija or Ouija?
Ouija.
Oh, I say Ouija. I mean, it sounds like whenever you're actually, like, saying it. Is it, though? Because it's spelled with an A at the end.
Yeah, but it said Ouija board. That's how I have always and only ever heard it.
But here's the thing, is that it sounds that way whenever you're like saying it in a conversation. Like, you didn't notice whenever I was saying Ouija board. Or like when I was saying like Ouija board, it sounds the same. So that's why I'm curious.
I'm going to stand behind Team Ouija.
That's fine.
Team Ouija. Because then Ouija my Luigi.
Board. Excuse you?
Ouija board.
Okay, please.
Also, my Luigi that. Board joke doesn't work.
Yeah. If it's not. There's the real issue.
It needed to be Luigi.
So, those who claim they've made contact with Zozo, who also goes by Zaza, Mama, Ozo, or Oz, Zo, Za, and Abacus. Huh?
I said he was in Lion King. What's that bird's name?
I don't remember.
I think it's Zaza.
They say he often shows himself by guiding the planchette into figure eight formations before frantically zooming back and forth between the Z and O.
Yeah, if his your board ever starts freaking out like that, you goodbye
go
real
right
fast.
To goodbye. Mm-hmm. His interactions start out friendly but grow malicious. He's known for cursing at and threatening contactees, sometimes personally. While he's often wrangled by a Ouija board, some believe that saying his name out loud can also summon Zozo from the depths of hell.
Oh, good. Also, like you said, with the friendly, Zozo also has the capability to like take on personas of things that you think like family members.
I thought that it meant like saying it out loud while you're doing the Ouija board.
What do you mean?
It would summon it. Like whenever, you know, whenever they're spelling it, like when you're like Z-O-Z-O.
And then they say I feel like he just appears.
I mean, he's a fucking demon. Yeah. So I don't think there are really that many rules to how they're summoned.
Yeah. No, I feel like it's just you have the possibility of interacting with him anytime you interact with a Ouija board. And he will often start by making you think that, yes, this is a friendly spirit.
Yeah.
And or possibly could prey on a, you know, person who is not as mentally stable. And or has had some sort of trauma, and especially if it's someone who's died, and they can take on that persona to make you feel comfortable and interested to keep going.
Yeah.
And then it's bad. It gets real bad real fast. He's like, ha, tricked you, bitch.
So it says, Zozo believers claim the demon has ancient origins, either
organs.
ancient organs. Either African or Sumerian, depending who you ask. While those claims can't be substantiated, maybe they're confusing Zozo for Pazuzu, a Mesopotamian wind demon who famously appeared in The Exorcist. A supernatural entity called Zozo was referenced in the 1818 French text Le Dictionnaire Infernal. Did you take French?
No.
All right, great. So as far as we know, I'm
right. To me. I support you.
The Demonological Encyclopedia, written by French author Jacques-Auguste Simon Colin de Plancy. That also sounds right. Recounts the story of a young village girl who's claimed she'd been possessed by three demons named Mimi, Zozo, and Crapolet.
Also, my Mimi's a demon.
I think Crapolet is who possessed the studio.
Crapolet, yeah. That's why it smells like shit in here all the time.
But according to the website, The Paranormal Scholar, accurately translating the text of that shows that the girl's story was faked. She rattled nonsense, he wrote, adding that the girl had been publicly beaten years before for faking possession and was eventually imprisoned for her fibs.
What if she was just right and everyone was just accusing her of being...
Follow-up question. What if she just had mental health issues?
Yeah.
He goes on to describe what he believed to be genuine cases of demonic activity, ending the Zozo extract with the sentence, nonetheless, there are real cases of possession.
Yikes.
So his first known textual appearance was technically a non-appearance, but this hasn't stopped people from using that book as proof of Zozo's existence. A number of websites and videos still cite it as fact, bolstering the belief that Zozo predates the event that seemingly willed him into existence. I thought I was going to burp. In 2009, that's when Darren Evans comes out. He recounts his experience with Zozo on a website called True Ghost Tales. He admits to an adolescent fascination with the occult, citing many Ouija board incidents throughout the years, but Zozo, he said, was different. The entity consistently showed itself to Evans too many times to count, pretended to be a kind spirit before shifting into threatening language, including curses in what looked like Latin or Hebrew. Hmm. I was genuinely fascinated and startled by how many times he showed up, even in many different states and many different Ouija boards. He claimed that the demon also made threats against his toddler daughter, nearly drowning her in a bathtub and later infecting her with a mysterious illness.
Absolutely the fuck not.
Yeah, they said in another article, he said that like the demon appeared in the bathtub with her and she went temporarily blind and went limp.
Jesus fucking Christ. Mm-hmm.
And he says, we almost lost her. And that was when I began to suspect demonic attack.
Yikes.
That's terrifying. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. His post garnered a great deal of interest with other readers alleging similar encounters. He set up a website. That website does stories. He has a film production company working with him. They acquired the rights. They release the film I Am Zozo, and he's in it. So, yeah.
Interesting. What is this film on?
I have no idea.
I'll find it.
Yeah.
I want to watch it.
So, in 2014, that's when they appeared on Ghost Adventures. They went to his old house. They ended up moving from that house.
Maybe I'll have to go watch this episode tonight.
Yeah, it says that they went back to his old house in Oklahoma, which he claimed to be plagued by Zozo. During interviews, he added new details to his original story, including the temporary blinding of his daughter, which he blamed on the demon.
Oklahoma's haunted as fuck. That's where my stepdad has all of his stories from.
Yeah.
And does it say which episode, what season and what episode? Damn. Okay.
In 2016, he co-authored a book, The Zozo Phenomenon, with Rosemary Ellen Gilley. He once again added new details about his first encounter with Zozo, claiming that he came in contact with Zozo in 1982 after discovering a Ouija board in his then-girlfriend's basement, engraved on the back, Zozo.
Oh.
So that's the problem with this, is that he does add new details every single time he talks about it publicly.
So it's like...
That always puts...
Are you misremembering or are you just bolstering your story?
Yeah. That will always put doubt in people's minds.
Yes, 100%. Rightly so.
So here is...
Yeah, yeah. When you said that thing about his daughter and you said he added it, I was like... Mm.
Yeah. Mm. The part where one of the most legendary rock bands of all time factors in. This is where...
What Zozo, you know.
Their fourth album. I don't know why I know that. I don't know ones. Because, like, I think...
I don't take you as, like, their number one fan.
I think my understanding was... I mean, I like Led Zeppelin quite a bit. And I was, like... I really liked them when I was in high school. So, I think what I was told is that they really didn't, like, title their albums. So, it was, like, Led Zeppelin 1, Led Zeppelin 2, Led Zeppelin 3, and then there's Zozo. Mm-hmm. But it looks more like Zofo when you look at the album cover.
Yeah.
So, as if the cracks in Evan's story weren't enough, the paranormal scholar uncovered another fascinating revelation. The Zozo font on the cover of Evan's The Zozo Phenomenon appeared to be lifted from the Zozo. That's what it was. Mm. Zozo symbol, an ancient glyph representing Saturn that was widely used by Led Zeppelin frontman Jimmy Page. Though Page has never revealed what Zozo means to him personally, it's possible that his being a Capricorn, a sign ruled by Saturn, has something to do with it.
Ayo, that's me.
Evans also happened to be an on-the-record mega fan of Led Zeppelin, a band long been associated with Satanism and demonology, which like, they were just really into Lord of the Rings. Let's call it what it is here. They were the biggest nerds in high school. So you feel like what?
I forgot.
Oh, okay. For a time, his Zozo website even linked directly to the official Zeppelin website and had a link to purchase Jimmy Page's autobiography.
Yeah, I think he just loved them so much and wanted to be associated with them in such a big way.
Yeah.
That, like, because I mean, I believe there's been actual, like,
yeah.
I mean, other than him, you know, people being like, no, I've experienced this. And right. So, like, I believe that there is, it does hold some water.
Yeah.
But with how it sounds like he's adding things mm-hmm. and then, like, his already known obsession with them, it's like, what's your game here, bud?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like so he's not truthful.
It seems like he has tried to counter the claims. Like claims that he fabricated his story. He claims the root word Zo appearing in both Zozo and Zoso have some sort of magical power, which he believes explains its recurring nature. In a blog post from earlier this year, he posted more historical proof of Zozo's experience, once again citing Le Dictionnaire Infernal, whatever. Le Dictionnaire. Is that a French accent? No.
Confirm me.
And a Nigerian paranormal website, Nyraland, where in 2005 a user named Machiavelli. No, it's just Machiavelli. M-A-K-A-V-E-L-I.
That is, yeah.
Uh-huh. Wrote of a friend's encounter with a demon called Zozo. Curiously, in the Nigerian language, what the fuck? My thing went.
Oh, no.
Haywire.
Zozo!
No. That's about that. Just fat thumbs. Okay.
What you got to say, bud? You're about to say something.
You want to do the sponsors?
Not yet.
Oh, we have to wait until this is over.
Oh, okay. Bye.
Leave that in. 32 minutes and 21 seconds.
Machiavelli wrote of a friend's encounter with a demon called Zozo. Curiously, in the Nigerian language, Hausa and Igbo, Zozo translates to come up.
Ichabod Crane.
He found mention of a demon named Zozo in a 66 play by Jacques Audiberti. And in an 1876 issue of the Catholic Review, where St. Bernardino of Siena mentions a mass of Zozo, some sort of satanic ritual. Mm. There's little consistency between Evans' personal accounts and his source material that relates anyone's Zozo to the other. Furthermore, none of these instances explain why, before Evans' 2009 True Ghost Tales post, Zozo Demon yielded next to zero results in Google search function. If Zozo encounters are such a shared experience, no one felt comfortable enough sharing their own run-ins until Evans came forward with his viral anecdote. Even with the traceable and flimsy origin, Zozo lives on in the collective subconscious, seemingly unstoppable, much like Slender Man. I'm not going to tell you guys about Slender Man.
Love him.
So that, while we got a lot of the history of Zozo, it does seem like this guy fabricated it.
Yeah, and there's some stories that seem a little bit more real.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, ad break.
This episode is brought to you by Shiner Seasonal. Shiner Strawberry Blonde. I had higher hopes. Just kidding. This is a beer I typically like. This was the beer I was drinking when I was on the river and my little can dipped under the water and got me that nice intestinal infection in which I shit my pants for like 6 days straight. And then had my blood taken and it shot all over the room. That legendary, we've got a squirter story.
Enjoy Shiner Strawberry Blonde if you want to shit your pants.
A treat from Poteet. No, just don't drink it on the river.
Don't drink anything on the river unless you can close it.
Unless you can make sure that you're not actually going to get it under the water.
Yeah.
The Strawberry Blonde, it is still okay. It's just, it tastes better in the summertime.
A glowing review.
Shiner Blonde.
I have higher hopes.
Okay, we back?
We've been back.
Oh, okay. We're back, baby. My turn?
Yeah.
Okay. So I actually went a little bit off on a tangent. I was reading about some different things with the Ouija boards, and one of them brought me into the exorcism of Roland Doe.
Okay.
So, I actually didn't know a lot of this, which is surprising, considering this is what inspired The Exorcist.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So, but it all stemmed from a Ouija board experience.
Okay.
So I was like, where the hell have I been? I don't know. So it's, I feel like kind of a little off topic, but also pretty on topic because it came from a Ouija board, right?
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways, so in the late 1940s, a priest of the Roman Catholic Church performed a series of exorcism on an anonymous boy documented under the pseudonym Roland Doe or Robbie Mannheim. That sounds like a real name, but I guess it's fake. The 14-year-old boy.
Roland shit.
Roland shit. It's just, yeah, I've been watching that to sleep because it brings me joy.
Because it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Makes me feel real safe. Anyways, just kidding. Born in 1935, was the alleged victim of a demonic possession, and the events were recorded by attending priest Raymond J. Bishop. But yeah, this is what it, this and some other supernatural claims surrounding the events were used as elements in the novel The Exorcist in 1971. So I said, well, must read more. But so in mid-1949, several newspaper articles printed reports of an alleged possession and exorcism. Goes on to say, according to the author Thomas B. Allen, a Jesuit priest, Father Walter H. Halloran, was one of the last surviving eyewitnesses of the events and who participated in the exorcism. There was apparently 48 people who witnessed this exorcism, 9 of them Jesuits. That's how I say it? That's
Jesuit. Right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. But yeah, so like 48 people just like popping their popcorn in their mouth.
Jesuit.
It's fun.
Jesuit?
I don't know. Jesuits?
Not Jesuits.
You got something to add?
What's a Jesuit?
Okay. Yeah, that's nothing. I'm just kidding, bud.
Okay.
Anyways.
I don't have an answer. I just know how to pronounce it.
Yeah.
You want me to Google it?
Yeah, you sure. Google it. I'll keep reading. Anyways, Father Walter H. Halloran was one of the last surviving eyewitnesses from the exorcism itself. Allen wrote that a diary kept by attending priest Father Raymond J. Bishop detailed the exorcism performed on the identified Roland Doe, a.k.a. Robbie.
Do you want me to tell you?
Yes.
A Jesuit is a member of the Roman Catholic Society of Jesus founded by St. Ignatius Loyola in 1534 and devoted to missionary and educational work. So, Jesuit.
Just kind of like a priest in training? Like,
no, I don't know.
I don't know. Anyways, so Roland was born into a German Lutheran family during the 1940s, and the family lived in Cottage City, Maryland. But then he moved to South Africa. According to Allen, Roland was an only child and dependent upon adults in his household for playmates, primarily his Aunt Harriet. His aunt, who is a spiritualist, introduced Roland to the Ouija board when he expressed interest in it. And that's how it started. Mm-hmm. So, according to Thomas B. Allen, after Aunt Harriet's death, the family experienced strange noises, furniture moving on its own accord, and ordinary objects such as vases flying or levitating when the boy was nearby. So he just was like a little conduit or something, you know?
Right.
The family turned to their Lutheran pastor, Luther Miles Schultz, for help. Long interested in parapsychology, Schultz arranged for the boy to spend a night in his home in order to observe him. That seems...
Wait, what?
Yeah. This father arranged for a boy to sleep in his home so he could observe him.
Hmm.
Maybe it's innocent, but like it sounds pretty bad.
It's got connotations, at least now. Mm-hmm. At least now it does. Maybe then it didn't because it was either
The 1940s.
Unknown.
Yeah, they didn't think of it.
You know, I'm not gonna sit here and say it wasn't happening.
Yeah.
It just wasn't as widely, people weren't aware of it.
Yes.
I mean, people just started being aware of it.
Yeah.
With Spotlight. So
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, they probably didn't. They definitely didn't.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And maybe that's not what happened at all.
Yeah.
But
I mean, it could just be your classic second grade slumber party with the whole class.
It's kindergarten for me.
I'm sorry. It could just be your classic everyday kindergarten slumber party.
I feel like we need to reach out to that She's probably in jail.
Please don't reach out to that teacher.
She's in jail for holding too many slumber parties. Yeah. Yeah, what the fuck? I've never heard of anyone else doing that. Why did my parents let me go? And I wore my...
Were they friends with her? Necklace. Were they like friends with her outside of her being your teacher?
No. She was just my teacher.
Wait, what?
This is a callback to an older episode.
Maybe he listened to us when we talk. Yeah.
When I was in kindergarten in North Carolina, my kindergarten teacher, for some reason, had a sleepover at her house with my kindergarten class.
Oh.
Exactly. And so we all went and stayed the night at this kindergarten teacher's house. I don't know. There were like a boys' room and a girls' room. Nothing in my mind happened bad. I just remember, like, I came out in my, like, Barbie little thing, and they were like...
Was it, though?
Well, I changed. I don't know if I said this, but I came... Because I had this like, life-size Barbie, you know, uh-huh. the same size as me, and so yeah. we had matching outfits.
Yeah, of course.
And so I was wearing that little nightie,
uh-huh.
and everyone was like, hey, Barbie! And so I went and changed into the straight-up lingerie.
Some negligee.
Oh.
That's why I'm a whore.
Oh my god.
Just kidding. No, I'm not. But I did have this nightie that, like, now I would wear and it would be sexual. As a kindergarten, it wasn't. Maybe to this teacher it was. I don't know. But
Christ.
I wore it. And then no one made fun of me. And then the next morning, I remembered.
Yeah, they were afraid the next thing you were coming out in was nothing.
Just naked. Yeah. No. I mean, it was a tasteful.
Oh, well, that's good. The nipples weren't cut out.
Yeah, I do have a bra that has the nipples cut out. And then I have one with just X's. Mm-hmm. You know, I've shown you.
Loose in kindergarten or...
Yes. No, I didn't get my boobs to the fifth grade. Thank you.
Bought the bra in sixth grade. Go on.
Well, anyways, that's how I stayed the night at my kindergarten teacher's house.
So he sent him to a father, like a priest.
St. Louis. I don't need to know about that. Sorry, I clicked one of the many links. Today's Wikipedia's birthday, and I said, look, we're almost twins. So what it was is this, their Lutheran pastor, Luther Miles Schultz. He was interested in, it says long interested in parapsychology. Schultz arranged for the boy to spend a night in his home in order to observe him. When parapsychologist J.B. Ryan learned that Schultz claimed he witnessed household objects and furniture seemingly moving by themselves, Ryan wondered if Schultz unconsciously exaggerated some of the facts. And then he advised the boys to see a Catholic priest. He said, them Lutheran priests ain't shit. Go see the Catholic ones.
Yeah, so what it says also is that, like, Jesuits are known for not so much their, like, missionary work, but their, like, work on doing things like that.
Yeah.
Like, and Jesuits are a type of Catholic, it seems, but it says that they are, the society is engaged in evangelization and apostolic ministry. In 112 nations. So evangelization is really an issue.
Yeah. Yeah. According to the traditional story, the boy then underwent a number of exorcisms. Edward Hughes, a Roman Catholic priest, conducted an exorcism on Roland at Georgetown University Hospital, a Jesuit institution. Mm-hmm. During the exorcism, the boy allegedly, this was one of my favorite parts. This made me where I was like, well, we talked about this. During the exorcism, the boy allegedly slipped one of his hands out of the restraints, broke a bed spring from under the mattress, and used it as a weapon, slashing the priest's arm and resulting the exorcism ritual to be halted. He was like, shink.
Which really you don't, as we learned, you don't want to stop your exorcisms.
No, because then they don't get done right.
Mm-hmm.
The family then traveled to St. Louis, hence the button I clicked on accident. Where Roland's cousin contacted...
And the devil was like, meet me in St. Louis, baby!
The devil didn't go to Georgia. He went to St. Louis.
St. Louis.
where Roland's cousin contacted one of the professors at St. Louis University, Bishop, who in turn spoke to William S. Bodern, an associate of the college church. And together, both of the priests visited Roland in his relative's home, where they allegedly observed a shaking bed, exorcism, flying objects, a boy speaking in a guttural voice, and exhibiting an aversion to anything sacred. Bodern was granted permission from the archbishop to perform an exorcism. The exorcism took place at the Alexian Brothers Hospital in St. Louis, Missouri, which was later raised. I don't know what that means. Anyways, before the next exorcism ritual began, another priest, Walter Halloran, I don't know, whatever the fuck it is, was called to the psychiatric wing of the hospital where he was asked to assist Bodern. There's a lot of names. William Van Roo, I can't keep up with it. A third Jesuit priest was also there to assist. Halloran stated that during the scene, words such as evil and hell, along with various marks, appeared on the teenager's body. Allegedly, during the litany of the saints portion of the exorcism ritual, the boy's mattress began to shake, and moreover, Roland broke Halloran's nose during the process. Halloran told a reporter that after the rite was over, the anonymous subject of the exorcism went on to lead a rather ordinary life. So that's boring. I'm just kidding. Good for him that it worked.
Yeah.
But it's not like that one chick who just like years later, 20 years later, was like, psych, still possessed.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'll have to go find her real name.
I'm good.
Okay. Anyways, this exorcism case inspired the 1971 novel The Exorcist by William Peter Blatty, which in turn was adapted into the 1973 horror film of the same title. The case also inspired the 2000 movie Possessed, which is said to be closer to the story in Allen's book. And a documentary was made of the case titled In the Grip of Evil, and another documentary film was made in 2010 titled The Haunted Boy, The Secret Diary of the Exorcist. Why have I not? I've seen The Exorcist, but I need to go watch the rest of these. So I'm taking a little screenshot there for me. I drew a red line. We'll cut that right now. I don't know how to use my phone. Anyways, so not necessarily about Ouija boards, but I thought that was fun to know that what inspired The Exorcist actually stemmed from a Ouija board experience. And so it didn't actually, I couldn't find anything about like why it was so heavily tied to it, but it just that like Aunt Harriet thing.
Yeah.
But I still thought it was interesting, a little bit of a stretch, but have you ever played with a Ouija board?
No. What do you think the answer is?
Yeah, I don't know why I asked. I have multiple times.
Well, we can no longer be in the same room together.
One time when I was younger, I'm pretty sure we didn't close out of it correctly. And there was this like younger girl who was haunting my house when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. This is the same one who like I saw in my doorway that one
time.
Was
this Day-Day?
No, Day-Day was the boy with the messed up face.
That's right.
This girl, we actually never named her, but she was the one who...
Rude. Sexist. you don't get a name, girl.
I feel like Day-Day just like resonated a name. I don't know. It was weird. But this girl, she's the one who I saw who was in my doorway the day before my like hanging bed fell out of the ceiling and I got caught in it. And then is also the one that my mom heard laughing when... We were a mile down the road and she was in the house alone.
Yeah.
And she thought it was me. Jacob's like, nope. So there was one time after.
That's why I'm out here.
We possessed demon bitches in here.
No.
Just me. I will take all of them for us. But the one time, now again, I don't know how much of this could have actually been fabricated in my mind. But one of my birthday parties when I was a kid, I was super into, I had spell books galore. And so I made all my friends play Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board. Mm-hmm. And then also we played with the Ouija board. Mm-hmm. I was like in the fourth grade. And
Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board. And then we play with the Ouija board.
Yeah.
Great.
Exactly.
Go on.
I wish we would have said that. Damn it. God, stupid fucking fourth grader Caitlin. Why didn't you come up with that?
Idiot.
But afterwards, I do remember her making an appearance.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we played with it. And I don't know if we properly closed out of it or not. I don't remember. I just remember seeing an actual apparition afterwards. And so that's pretty fun, I guess. And then recently in my old house, when my work had a Halloween party, my boss was like, Ouija boards are dumb. And so we played, and I don't think we actually said goodbye. And that's when, like, the mimicking voice mm-hmm. started happening in my house. When I started hearing all those things, like, because there was, like, it wasn't just me either. Yeah. Like, I wasn't the only one who heard this mimicking.
Mm-mm.
And so, like, it was after that that all of these presences, like, started becoming, like, making themselves known.
I'm so glad I didn't come over in the house. Halloween.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, I do think a lot, I think we actually did open something and yeah. not properly close it in that house. So sorry to the people who bought it. You getting haunted.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah. So those are some of my Ouija board experiences. Never had anything too crazy happen. I'm, as much as I, like, loved, like, obviously, I'm a giant believer in the paranormal.
Yeah.
Especially recently when I played the Ouija board with people, I am so hesitant to believe that it's actually happening.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, maybe it's just my deep distrust with, like, most people.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're a fucking liar.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This isn't actually happening. I know myself, I'm not doing anything.
Yeah.
Although most people always blame me. They're like, Caitlin, you're pushing this. And I'm like, I'm not doing shit, y'all. It's one of you motherfuckers.
Yeah.
I'm just here for the ride.
Well, I think the only way to really tell would be, like, a real experiment of, like, hooking yourself up to machines, hooking everyone up to machines.
And seeing.
Seeing which muscles, whose muscles are moving.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Or activated,
and that's,
you know,
more work than I ever care to do. Yeah. So... but yeah, so that's Ouija boards. Pretty fun. Don't absolutely, like,
just leave them alone.
Yeah. I don't think that the Ouija boards themselves are bad, because no, they're, like, Hasbro had a big hand in them.
Yeah.
Other, you know, things like
Mattel, Parker Brothers, please.
It is just a game board.
Yeah.
It's you can make a Ouija board out of anything. Like, you can draw that shit on paper and you can still do it. It's mm-hmm. just a matter of your intent. And it's a matter of, like, just how you're, I mean, yeah, it's strictly a matter of intent.
Yeah.
And if you're not being respectful and you don't actually believe in it, then yeah, you're going to fuck someone's life up. Like,
yeah.
Just if you don't believe in it, fucking stay away from it. If you believe in it, fucking stay away from it.
Yeah.
At this point, just, I mean, they're fine in and of themselves. It's when you go to use them and you do not use them properly and you do not respect the other realms that you start running into issues.
Right.
So planchettes are not evil. Ouija boards, not evil.
Despite what some people think when they see the planchettes that I make.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's just, let's get that right out the door.
Yeah.
It's fucking ignorant. Like, okay, they are not bad. Seeing a Ouija board does not mean you're cursed. Seeing a planchette does not mean you're cursed.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. So just... be smart. If you're going to use them, make sure you say goodbye, of all things.
Mm-hmm.
That is the main one that I'm like, get behind. Do not ask how you died.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, I mean, again, that's rude. It's like, when did you gain weight? Like,
I mean, I think it's different. I think the difference is, like,
how did
I think,
you get born?
I would think the reason that you don't ask is for the fear of a spirit that does not know that they are dead.
Yes. And then, yeah, then it gets real grumpy.
Mm-hmm.
And bitch, I'm not dead.
Whereas, like, bro, I know when I've gained weight.
Bitch, I'm a ghost.
So, we want to thank our patrons.
We have some of those.
We do. We have Brian and Amanda.
That's right. We also have Brandon.
And we have Jeffrey.
And Shelby.
So thank you guys for your support. Thank you for your support. If you want to support us and help us out, you can go to patreon.com/whatsyourexcusepodcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You can also reach out to us on a bunch of social media outlets. Mm-hmm. One of those being Instagram.
Yeah, and that is, well, it's actually Facebook that we say first.
I don't think it is.
Right?
No, oh, it's Instagram.
It's Instagram. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of email.
Oh, you can email us.
And so that's your excuse podcast at gmail.com.
Or you can
one giant
DM us on Instagram.
DM us. Aww. We've gotten some new followers on Instagram recently. I posted some stories.
Yeah. That's good.
Not post. But I still actively check the Instagram. So
yeah,
please do reach out to us. You can find us there at What's Your Excuse Podcast. And that's all one word, no spaces, no apostrophes, none of that shit.
Or you can reach out to us on Facebook.
Which I honestly don't check as much. But
I do.
Great.
I get all of those messages and everything. It's all on my phone.
I get the notifications of, you got more likes.
Yeah.
And it says, good job. I said, yay.
Yeah.
but that's What's Your Excuse Podcast. And that is with spaces and apostrophes because they're...
We're not animals.
Yes.
Sorry, I started yawning because there were not animals.
We're sleepy animals.
we are in the Rogue Media Network studios, soon Lovely. To be the new studio.
Woohoo! Cannot wait.
Yep.
It's going to be so fun.
You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts.
Yes. Also, Spoofy, Spotify,
Stitcher,
and Google Play,
and Pandora.
That's right. And we don't say. Squeechy Squatch.
Right.
Or whatever it was.
Right.
Something
That's
like
just
that,
the
right?
hosting site.
Squeechy Squatch.
Yeah. So don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe and tell all of your friends.
5 stars only. If you're in the UK, you know, maybe just, yeah,
Please
we can
tell your friends.
We can figure out the like
Logistics
currency exchange.
Of a tour.
Oh, yeah. Also donate to our Patreon.
yeah.
We'll figure it out. But then, yeah, I will tour in Europe.
Yeah.
So
reach out to us and rate, review, and subscribe.
Oh. yeah. Rate, review, subscribe. 5 stars only. But also, I feel like we'll kind of make it if we get a bad star. So I'm like,
do you think
I just need, maybe I just need someone to talk shit to me. maybe Jesus that's just Christ. What I'm into now.
Jesus Christ.
That's all, folks. Bye.
So that's it. Goodbye.
'Scuse. Them Lutheran priests ain't shit. Go see the Catholic ones.
Well, we can no longer be in the same room together.
They always say if you save a penny, you'll be rich. Have you been fucking listening?
Bye bye.
Yeah, that. That's all, folks. All
right.
I'm Piggy.
Great.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Becca.
And I'm Josie.
And we're your judges. And this is By the Cover. No, wait. Do you want us to... Oh, shit.
Okay, we'll try it again. Okay.
Hi, I'm Becca.
And I'm Josie.
And we're your judges on By the Cover, a new podcast.
Yeah, we're a talk show. God. We're a comedy talk show centered around Amazon book review culture. You can find us on Spotify, Stitcher,
wherever podcasts are.
All the places.
There. You can't hide from us. Anyway, listen to our show. We're going to be funny. We're going to be talking about books, and it's going to be great.
Yay! Promo over. The words I'm singing now mean nothing more than me.
Looking for a job? Check out ResWrite.
ResWrite offers resumes, cover letters, and LinkedIn profiles for individuals searching for new opportunities.
Resumes start at just $30.
Check out ResWrite.com for more info and use my code ResWriteRMN10 for 10% off all services.
Again, that is ResWriteRMN10, which is ResWriteRM as in mom, N as in nachos. 10 for 10% off.
off all services. What? Nachos was a good thing.
Hi. My name is Gary. I spend a lot of time on Rogue Media. I love podcasting. Podcast makes me so happy. When I'm not doing anything else, I'm listening to Bluesville, Keep Waco Loud, and a lot of other things. I love the Rogue Media.
This has been a Rogue Media Network podcast.